Hello, everyone. My name is Cassie Friday, and I'm a graduate student at the University of Kentucky, where I study a protein called apolipoprotein E, or ApoE for short, and that's what I'll refer to it as in this episode. I'm here to tell you all about it and discuss the papers surrounding ApoE that were published in July 2022. I'll be right back after the introduction to our podcast.
Welcome to Aminder, a podcast where we summarize the latest publications on Alzheimer's disease for you, so you can spend more time doing awesome research. For every month, you'll find a series of episodes by theme, and each comes with a bibliography. Whether you're in the lab, on the bus, or cooking your meal, we hope you find this podcast useful and accessible.
All right, welcome to this Aminder episode on ApoE and its association with neurodegenerative disease. Before we get started, I wanted to remind everyone how our podcast works. We have an amazing team of volunteers who sort through newly published research each month. They bin hundreds of abstracts into categories for you to peruse. Remember, we only summarize the abstracts during this podcast for the sake of brevity and so that we can cover more research for you. If you want more specific information on the paper, please use the bibliography within the episode notes to find where the full text articles are. And as I go through the abstracts, I will call out the paper titles and where they can be found as well. And this all takes a lot of work behind the scenes from people to sort papers into topics, write the scripts, record, and then edit. So we're always interested in adding more people to the team. If you're interested in volunteering with Aminder, please send us an email at aminderpodcast@gmail.com. All right, time to get started. I'll be covering 9 abstracts today published in July 2022 related to ApoE. In the human population, there are 3 common alleles for ApoE, E2, E3, or E4. The E4 allele is the largest genetic risk factor for late onset Alzheimer's disease, and sometimes I'll refer to Alzheimer's disease as AD. E2 is protective against AD, just as much as E4 is a risk factor for AD, and we consider E3 to be a neutral risk. So oftentimes, papers will compare E4 against the neutral risk or control E3 allele, as you'll hear me explain a lot in this episode. So I'm going to start with human research papers and end with mice today. So we'll go from large cohorts of biomarker and genetic studies all the way down to hypothesis-driven and mechanistic mouse papers. The first paper is called Altered Balance of Reelin Proteolytic Fragments in the Cerebrospinal Fluid of Alzheimer's Disease Patients. The first author is Lopez Font, the last author is Saez Valero, and the authors are from Spain, London, Sweden, and Hong Kong. So a very widely collaborative paper in the International Journal of Molecular Science. Reelin is a large glycoprotein that functions in the brain to modulate neuronal migration and cell signaling. Reelin binds to the ApoE receptor 2, and the authors of this study wanted to see if they could find biomarkers of reelin fragments that are proteolytically cleaved in the cerebral spinal fluid of participants who have Alzheimer's disease. So first, they used antibodies against either the C or the N-terminus of reelin, along with Western blot, and they looked at different size fragments of the protein in the cerebral spinal fluid, along with the full length of protein. So in Alzheimer's disease patients, they found a reduced amount of the full length reelin protein in the CSF, meaning that they believe that more of this protein is proteolytically cleaved in patients who have Alzheimer's disease, meaning that it's not going to be there to bind to the ApoE receptor 2 and participate in neuronal migration and cellular signaling. And then they also found a couple of increased amounts of certain size protein fragments and a couple of decreased amounts of certain size protein fragments, either at the N-terminus or the C-terminus based on the antibodies that they used. And you can find that information detailed in the paper. So an interesting and larger species of reelin protein that's about 500 kilodaltons was found in 34 of 43 samples only from Alzheimer's disease patients. So these large abnormal reelin species acted with the N-terminal antibodies, and this large protein was recapitulated in vitro with an amyloid beta 42 treatment in a reelin overexpressing cell line. There were also no significant differences between reelin fragments and APOE variant subgroups, but they did find E4 carriers, CSF, had lower levels of APOE receptor 2 fragments. The second paper is called RNA6 is a novel modifier of APOE4 effects on cognition. First author is Tito, the last author is Homan. They're from Vanderbilt University, publishing in Neurobiology of Aging. So a very interesting thing about the risk allele of APOE is that it's so prevalent in the population. And usually if something's so bad, it makes sense that it would be selected against throughout the natural process of evolution. However, about 1 in 6 of us carry an E4 allele. The authors of paper number 2 wanted to learn if there is anything neuroprotective in E4 carriers, perhaps something that could begin as protective and then turn detrimental later. So they sequenced whole blood RNA from 324 older adults to look at the genetic modifiers of E4 on cognition. RNA6 significantly interacted with APOE4 and was associated with worse memory at baseline. In another data set of 535 frontal cortex samples that were analyzed with RNA sequencing, this interaction was replicated. So RNA6 was associated with APOE4 in both the peripheral blood and in the frontal cortex of the brain. RNA6 is involved in the innate immune response, where it encodes an antimicrobial peptide and was also implicated in neuroinflammation and cognitive decline. The authors believe that this innate immune signaling may be detectable in the blood and could have different effects depending on a person's APOE genotype. The third paper is titled Inter and Intra-Chromosomal Modulators of the APOE E2 and E4 Effects on Alzheimer's Disease Risk. The first author is Nazarian, the last author is Kolminsky, and they're affiliated with Duke University, and they're publishing in the Journal of Geroscience. The authors of paper 3 wanted to look at linkage disequilibrium associated with AD risk from either the E2 or the E4 allele. So again, the APOE2 allele is protective, but that doesn't mean that if you have a 2 allele, that you're completely protected from Alzheimer's disease. On the other hand, the 4 allele is the risk allele, but it's not a guarantee Alzheimer's disease prognosis. Linkage disequilibrium identifies the polymorphisms that are consistently associated with one another. So in this very large genome-wide analysis of over 16,000 samples from 5 independent studies, the authors identified sets of polymorphisms that were distinctly associated with either the E2 or the E4 allele. And then they used Cox regression and ultimately showed 4 interchromosomal polymorphisms, narrowing down from 24, that associated with E2AD risk. And then they identified 10 interchromosomal polymorphisms that they narrowed down from 57 that associated with E4 risk. Functional analyses pinpointed lipid and lipoprotein metabolism and cell junction organization associated with risk, which may also provide clues to AD pathogenesis. So it just gives more credence to those folks that are studying lipid metabolism and lipoprotein metabolism. Paper number 4 is titled A Locus at 19q13.31 significantly reduces the APOE E4 risk for Alzheimer's disease in African ancestry. The first author of this paper is Rajabli. The last author is Vance. And this is a collaboration out of the University of Miami with other collaborators all over the United States and in Nigeria. And this was in PLOS Genetics. So as healthcare moves towards personalized medicine, APOE genotype is a great place to start by understanding how the 3 primary variants impact health and disease risk and kind of facilitate the best practices to mitigate those risks. However, this group goes further into that personalization by studying local ancestry of APOE in a group of participants of African ancestry that actually has a lower AD risk despite having the presence of an E4 allele. So like I said in the last paper, even if you have an E4 allele, that doesn't mean you have a guaranteed diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease. In this particular population of African ancestry, they have an E4 allele, but their risk is a lot lower than the general population who also has an E4 allele. So they're trying to use association analyses and a logistics regression model that's adjusted for ancestry, age, and sex in this study. So in 4,331 cognitively normal African-American individuals, a single nucleotide polymorphism was found in 1,850 of these individuals. Additionally, they studied participants of Puerto Rican descent with and without Alzheimer's disease, Abadan individuals with and without Alzheimer's disease, and about 20,000 non-Hispanic white individuals with and without cognitive decline. The single nucleotide polymorphism they found is upstream of the APOE locus on chromosome 19. The presence of this particular locus reduces the odds ratio for AD risk from 7.2 in an E4 carrier that does not have this polymorphism all the way down to 2.1. So this is significantly a huge reduction in the odds ratio that's an important finding in this population. So now we know that there's a locus that is associated with a reduced risk for Alzheimer's disease in an African-American population that's surrounded by a pregnancy-specific beta-1 glycoprotein in a long non-coding region of RNA. While the authors don't know how this specific locus works to reduce the risk of AD in this population, this opens a big door for us to study it as a field. The fifth paper is Distinct Tau Neuropathology and Cellular Profiles of an APOE3 Christchurch Homozygote Protected Against Autosomal Dominant Alzheimer's Dementia. The first author of this paper is Fala. The last author is Quiros. They're affiliated with Germany, the United States, Brazil, and Colombia. And this was published in the Journal of Brain Behavior. So this is the last human study of the podcast episode today, study number 5, where researchers delve into the potential protective mechanisms of a patient who has the infamous Christchurch mutation. So a little background on this. There's a family in Colombia who has a PSEN1 mutation, which causes dementia very early in life, around the 40th or 50th decade. However, a woman from this family with this early dementia-causing mutation had protection from cognitive decline, unlike all of her relatives. So this whole family has been extensively studied for years. And in studying her, researchers found a specific mutation known as Christchurch that mitigates the risk of dementia despite having this, you know, almost certain AD genetic mutation. By studying her brain, they found regional tau accumulation that is atypical from the normal distribution of tau in AD patients. So there was minimal tau in the frontal cortex, but there was actually severe tau pathology and cerebral amyloid angiopathy in the occipital cortex, along with a distinct inflammatory profile of microglia and a decreased expression of APOE. So their final conclusion was that the Christchurch variant could provide protection because of the variation in tau distribution in her brain. So that's why she didn't have any cognitive decline despite having the PSEN1 mutation. So we're just over halfway through our abstracts. Let's take a little breather and we will start again after this quick announcement.
Hi, I'm Ellen Rowe, host and co-founder here at Aminder. I've been with the team since the very beginning in 2020, and I really love it because it's an outlet to hone my own science communication skills, and I feel super passionate about the mission of making sure scientists are well informed about all of the new research being churned out. It's also super rewarding to be a part of a community of like-minded and driven scientists from all career stages. If you're interested in getting involved with our team, we are currently recruiting new hosts and content creators for the show. This is a great opportunity for researchers interested in keeping up to date with the latest Alzheimer's research and getting some science communication experience in the process. If this has piqued your interest, you can reach us at aminderpodcast@gmail.com or through any of our social media platforms, and we'd love to hear a bit about you.
Nearly 1 million older Canadians live with a form of dementia. This number is expected to double within 10 years. and sadly no solutions exist yet to dramatically reduce these numbers. It has to stop. Research can help solve this problem. We are 350 researchers fully dedicated towards preventing and finding a cure to dementia, and to improve care to those living with dementia. We are the Canadian Consortium on Neurodegeneration in Aging. The solution to dementia could be closer than you think.
All right, let's get back at it. So our next paper, number 6, is titled The Effects of Toxic Apolipoprotein E Fragments on Tau Phosphorylation and Cognitive Impairment in Neonatal Mice Under Sevoflurane Anesthesia. First author, last name is Yu. Last author, last name is also Yu, different person. They're affiliated with Tianjin Medical University General Hospital in Tianjin, China. And this was published in the Brain Behavior Journal. So paper 6 is a really interesting and somewhat controversial field of research surrounding anesthesia. There's evidence within the literature that suggests repeated bouts of anesthesia during infancy or childhood may contribute to learning impairments or later cognitive impairments. However, there are also papers with conflicting results, because we obviously care a lot about the safety of children, both in the short term, where they may be requiring anesthesia for a procedure or surgery, and in the long term, where we need to fully understand how this anesthesia exposure may impact their long-term cognition. These are things that we need to study. So this group of researchers from China studied the impact of sevoflurane anesthesia exposure on cognition and tau phosphorylation in mice based on their ApoE. And they used mice who did not have any ApoE, and then mice with targeted replacement and full-length ApoE2 and ApoE3, and then mice with a targeted replacement fragmented or not full-length ApoE3. So you have, again, a knockout ApoE, ApoE2, ApoE3, and then fragmented ApoE3. So after exposure to anesthesia, mice underwent behavioral testing and mRNA and protein measurements of phosphorylated tau with the hypothesis that ApoE fragments will be neurotoxic, inducing tau phosphorylation following anesthesia. And they found that anesthesia increased ApoE mRNA, total ApoE protein, in both the full and the fragmented ApoE mice. Tau phosphorylation and cognitive impairment occurred in young mice after anesthesia, but not in the adult mice. ApoE2 mice had reduced anesthesia-induced phosphorylated tau elevation and cognitive impairment compared to ApoE3 and the knockout mice. So together, this data suggests that ApoE fragments could be a mechanism of tau phosphorylation in young mice after anesthesia, providing a mechanism for poor cognitive outcomes after anesthesia in children. Again, this is a controversial body of literature, so it's always best to read papers from both sides of this mechanistic argument. Our seventh paper, The Effects of Chronic Cadmium Exposure on Brain and Liver Transporters and Drug Metabolizing Enzymes in Male and Female Mice Genetically Predisposed to Alzheimer's Disease. This is by first author Wang, last author Q. They're affiliated with the University of Washington, publishing in Drug Metabolism and Disposition. So continuing to look at exposure to substances and how that affects AD risk, in paper 7, the authors were trying to elucidate the effects of cadmium on drug processing genes in the context of sex and ApoE genotype, because cadmium is increasingly thought of as an environmental risk factor for Alzheimer's disease. Looking at the liver and the brains of cadmium-exposed mice expressing human ApoE, they found pro-inflammatory genes in the livers of ApoE4-exposed male mice. Conversely, in females, circadian and lipid metabolism-related genes were enriched in ApoE3-expressing mice. Also in the liver, target genes of xenobiotic sensing nuclear receptor PXR were upregulated in ApoE4 males. In addition, they found upregulation of steroid hormone metabolizing CYP2 and CYP7A1 after cadmium exposure. In the brain, they saw upregulation of arachidonic acid metabolite CYP2J in male E3 mice after cadmium. The authors believe that cadmium dysregulated brain and liver drug processing genes in a sex and APOE-dependent manner, and this may explain the variance in the vulnerability in cadmium neurotoxicity. The next paper is titled Apolipoprotein E, E4, Mediates Myelin Breakdown by Targeting Oligodendrocytes in Sporadic Alzheimer's Disease. The first author is Cheng, last author is Sei from Hong Kong Polytechnic University and from the University of Pittsburgh. They published in Neuropathology and Experimental Neurology. In the field of APOE, we're always trying to tease apart the mechanisms of pathology. A lot of people arrive at Alzheimer's disease amyloid pathology in different ways, and we believe that APOE genotype plays a role in how they arrive at this end-stage disease pathology. These researchers in Abstract 8 wanted to know more about how APOE influences myelin pathology specifically, independent of traditional AD pathology. So they did immunohistochemistry on several areas of the brain in non-cognitively impaired and individuals with either sporadic or familial AD, and only found a reduction in myelin basic protein in the frontal cortex. These changes were associated with an E4 genotype and were independent of BRAC score or NIA-RI criteria. Using APOE knockout mice, primary oligodendrocytes were treated with lipidated E3 or E4 protein, and E4 treatment reduced the number of myelinating oligodendrocytes and was exacerbated in cholesterol-depleted media. This suggests that disruption of myelination in E4 carriers may be due to oligodendrocyte pathology rather than an indirect consequence of plaque formation. For Abstract 9, titled Independent APOE4 Knock-In Mouse Models Display Reduced Brain APOE Protein, Altered Neuroinflammation, and Simplification of Dendritic Spines. The first author is Sepavelda, and the last author is Rebecca. They're affiliated with Georgetown University Medical Center in Washington, D.C. Finally, we're at Abstract number 9. This is a great mouse model comparison paper. So many people who study the APOE genotype differences in mouse models, including several of the abstracts that I just mentioned in this episode, use a targeted replacement model where the human APOE variant is inserted where the mouse APOE gene is located. This is done because mice only have one isoform of APOE and humans have three common isoforms, E2, E3, and E4. These targeted mouse models were first characterized in 1997 by Pat Sullivan and have been used in many studies since. Recently, Jackson Laboratories made their own human APOE-expressing mouse models. This group from Georgetown University aimed to characterize the genotype differences in the new JAX models to see if the differences were similar to those found between genotypes in the targeted replacement mice. The short answer is yes, they're very similar. There are some small differences between the models, but the authors conclude there is a consistent effect of the E4 protein on the brain, which causes reduction in total amount of APOE protein by 27%, an alteration in neuroinflammation with E4 brains from JAX mice showing higher interleukin-3 compared to the targeted replacement E4 mice showing higher interleukin-6 and TNF-alpha, and finally, an alteration in dendritic spines with a lower density in E4-expressing mice that is partially rescued by an anti-inflammatory treatment. The characterization of the JAX mouse models is important because it allows us to more confidently compare data from groups who use either the targeted replacement mice with those who use the newly available JAX APOE mice. All right, and that's all I have for July 2022 related to APOE. Stay tuned to the podcast for our next episode by Anusha about treatments to target neuroprotection. And make sure to check out other special topics from prior months and then upcoming through the rest of the year. Thank you so much to Sarah for reviewing this episode, to Michelle and Ellen for doing the audio edit, and to Anjana for the bibliography that you can use. Again, located in our show notes or on the AMinder website. Talk to you all soon.